You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Brian Sweeney from the Youth Sports Report. How are you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. To start off, might as well hit what is right now the hottest topic in the Vegas Bowl storyline is Senny calling the BYU team dirty and saying that, you know, nothing's going to happen if they don't do anything. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on what went down last night?
Well, don't start nothing, won't be nothing. I guess he's partially right, but let's be honest. At some point during this game and before the game, there will be a lot of trash talking. I'm sure there'll be some pushing and shoving. I'm sure some Utah players and BYU players are going to walk out the midfield and start yapping at each other and yelling at each other. And some of it will be in good fun because all these guys know each other, and some of it won't be. Some of it will be legitimate dislike. And what we've seen out of BYU, and it's impossible for BYU fans to deny it, and a lot of them have kind of accepted it and are embarrassed by it. And BYU has become the cheap shot capital of the world, if you will, from a college football perspective. We've seen it many, many times. I'm not saying that Utah is completely innocent or other teams around the country aren't innocent. And some of these cheap shots, the BYU ones just seem to be rampant and constant to the point where you think, you have to wonder, are they actually taught to do these sort of things? And I know things take place at the bottom of a pile, and that's fine, and guys get their eyes poked and grabbed, but they just tend to do it in plain sight. So if that's the case, and then Senny wants to go out there and say that, he's really kind of lit a fuse under BYU, and a brawl in this game, as we've seen BYU like to brawl in their bowl game. They did it last year. A brawl in this game would not shock me. And from a media perspective, I mean, you don't want to root for those things to happen. You want it to be clean, but they're always entertaining. That nobody turns away from a brawl when it's happening on TV. Everyone turns on their TV to see those things. So hopefully see both teams can be civil is the PC answer that I'll give you. But for my own personal interest, let's see the two teams go at it and really start slugging it out there, and maybe it really fires things up and then gets things a little bit more exciting on Saturday. Not that it's not going to be already, but I got no problem with what Senny did. I'm sure Coach Whittingham probably has to tell, hey, you know, you probably choose your words a little more wisely next time, but I'm sure deep down Kyle has those similar thoughts. So it should be a blast, and I think this just kind of ups the ante and really gets both teams even more excited.
Yeah, no, I thought it was funny that, you know, the one interesting BYU player reaction I saw on Twitter was someone saying that it's already boiling to a potential bowl brawl part two. And if that's already in players' minds, the likelihood of something going down on Saturday outside of the actual game itself just continues to increase.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, look, fans can say, and I know a lot of you Utah fans are disappointed they're in this bowl game, and even more disappointed they've got to play BYU. It's almost like giving BYU an opportunity just to knock down their little brother off, or excuse me, their big brother off the pedestal, because as it stands now, Utah is the big brother, and you never want to let your younger sibling take that shot or get a shot in and give them an opportunity. And so I can see the narrative that Utah doesn't have a lot to gain from this one and everything to lose. But I bet Witt's going to have the guys ready to go, and they should be, and they're going to be fired up and pumped up. And you walk around and you ask every single player on that team, who's the team that you want to be more than any other every year? What's the team you hate the most? Most of them are going to say BYU, especially the local kids. So I think that the intensity on Saturday, especially pregame, I'm going to make sure I'm on the field pregame so I can see it up close. Is going to be through the roof, and it's just going to create hopefully another storyline and hopefully a great game that goes down in history between these two programs that have had a great history together.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. This at first, you know, the reaction from Utah fans and even the program to some extent was the disappointment of being in the Vegas Bowl, and now it seems like now that it's game week, all of that's thrown aside, and now it's time to go beat the rival. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that is the case, and that's kind of what I think I anticipated happening. I figured for the first week, Ute fans and maybe some Ute players and
and the coaches were a little disappointed. They thought they should be in a better bowl. By the time we got to game, we got a little bit closer. They start getting pumped up, jazzed up, and thinking, you know, we're going to play BYU, and we get a chance to go smack down BYU. And Utah is the better team than BYU. I'm not saying they're definitively going to win, but, I mean, on paper, Utah should win this game. And I think the fans are really starting to get a little bit more excitement here and that opportunity to keep the streak going. I mean, BYU hasn't beaten Utah in 2009 was the last win, I believe, for BYU on the football field. So, Utah's got a great chance to continue to extend that streak, and some of these players are get another crack at that school that recruited them, and they chose Utah over BYU. And then some of these other guys, a guy like Gianni Paul, has never had a chance to experience a game day against BYU. So he's going to have his first chance to go out there, and I'm sure he's just sizing up Tanner Mangum and really wants to be able to come on a blitz and just light that 22-year-old freshman up.
Yeah, I mean, kind of speak to that. I mean, there's been a, the 2-year break hiatus from the rivalry game. There's a bunch of players that haven't even played in the rivalry game, and key players, including Gianni Paul. How do you think they'll react to this game? I mean, for some reason, I keep thinking back to the Michigan game, and Gianni Paul had those late hits out of bounds. Is that going to be a potential issue in a heated rivalry game for these guys playing in it for the first time?
Well, yeah, I think it could be an issue, and I mean, it could be an issue on both sides. I mean, it'd be naive of us to think, and I'm not trying to be snarky or disrespectful with this, but it'd be naive of us to think that BYU is not going to have it throw some sort of cheap shot out there, because we've seen it consistently all season long. They've done it quite a bit, but Utah's they're no angels out there. Gianni Paul's had plenty of personal fouls this season, and he's going to be jacked up, and he's going to be feeding off the excitement that his other players are giving them, and then what they told him about BYU, and the fact that, like, look, this is our rival. It's not Colorado. This is our rival. This is the team that we really want to kick the crap out of, and you're finally going to get a chance to do it. And is there anyone that gets more jacked up for games than Gianni Paul on this Utah roster? I don't think so. He's going to feed off the excitement for the rest of his players. They're going to feed off the excitement from him, and these guys are just going to be absolutely jacked to get out. But, yeah, I would expect a couple of personal fouls in this game. I think between the two teams, if there were under 4 personal fouls, I'd probably be surprised.
I would be too. Well, let's get into the game itself and talk some matchups. I mean, really easy. Who do you think is going to win, down in the trenches, offensive line versus defensive line on each side of the field?
Well, I think, BYU's got a pretty big offensive line, and they've got some pretty good players there. Their defensive line has some decent players too, depending on how they choose to use Bronson Gafusi, and he's a really good player. And they've got some different sets that they can use on the defensive side of the ball. But I still think Utah, the fact that they've been so healthy on the offensive line, and they've really been quite cohesive and have really gotten a lot better as the season, not a ton better, but they've gotten better and been more consistent as the season's gone along, especially in the run blocking. And they've done a great job for Joe Williams the last couple of weeks. I'd give Utah an advantage with their offensive line slightly over BYU's defensive line. And then when you flip things around, BYU's offensive line's good enough. But we're talking about Utah's defensive line here. I mean, this is still the best overall defensive line in the entire Pac-12. If Hunter Dimmick can play and he's healthy enough to go, they should be absolutely fine. And even if he's not, you still got tons and tons of depth. Felipe Mokobisi's back to where he needs to be. And from a health perspective, Kylie Fitz had a very underrated season. Jason Fanica did not get enough love for what he did, and he might have been Utah's most valuable defensive lineman this year. And Lo Olotulelei just eats up blocks after block after block. He didn't have a big year statistically, but he was a block eater, 2 and 3 guys at a time. So with what Utah has and the amount of depth they have on their defensive line, that should be a matchup that they win pretty easily and allow their linebackers to make a lot of plays. I would expect them to eat up a lot of blocks and let Gianni Paul and Jared Norris and even Jason Whittingham roam around and make a ton of plays.
Well, I mean, speaking of the defensive line, you know, one of the weaknesses one could say of this Utah defense has been the secondary. How do you think they're going to match up against the tall, you know, I would say somewhat physical wide receivers of BYU?
Yeah, that's a big concern, because the only other team that I can think of that Utah went up against this year that had wide receivers that were kind of that big, UCLA had some pretty big receivers. Nelson Spruce has pretty good size from Colorado. They struggled a little bit at those times. UCLA at times when Rosen was on was had some stretches where he was kind of picking apart Dominique Hatfield. And, so, yeah, it's definitely a concern with that size. I would expect to see Brian Allen probably get some more run out there with his size and has his physicality. There are no burners at BYU. Those guys aren't going to run past people. They need strong, physical corners out there. And I know Justin Thomas isn't the biggest guy, but he plays such a physical style of game that he's going to be very valuable. So I think we'll see more reps out of Brian Allen. And I think what Utah's got to do is just make sure they're making the right plays on the ball and getting to that ball. And that means safety help. And I would expect maybe Tevin Carter, he played a lot in the box, moving up a lot throughout the season. I think he's probably going to hang back a little bit more and play more of a natural safety position because of what Tanner Mangum likes to do when he's flushed out of the pocket, when he gets pressure. He just throws a lot of those jump balls where he's hoping his 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", receivers can go up and get him. And they're going to need those safeties to come over and help and really try to knock those balls away to try to keep it away. If you've just got single coverage over there, most of the time those BYU receivers are going to win that matchup. So they're going to need Carter and Marcus Williams to be able to cover a lot of ground and help with those jump balls. So they're going two against one as opposed to one-on-one. Because if it's one-on-one, a lot of times Utah will lose that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, based on that, how many interceptions do you think, a Tevin Carter, Marcus Williams, Matt, safety duo might put up this coming weekend?
I mean, interceptions are so hard to predict and what's going to happen. Usually when interception happens, it's because a lot of times it's a tip ball or a mistake by a quarterback. So it's so hard to predict that. I mean, with what Marcus Williams did this year, you'd always kind of lean towards him picking off a pass in a game. But it kind of depends on what BYU is going to do offensively and how they want to run their route structures. If they're running a lot of outs, then Marcus Williams is kind of it's going to negate what he does. I mean, he picked off a lot of passes on those balls over the middle because that's where he's in position. That's where he's going to put himself. Tevin Carter is a guy that's not going to pick off a lot of passes because of just his style of play and the fact that he plays up in the box more, even though I think he's going to play back and play a little deeper in this game. I mean, if you pick off one pass between the two of them, I think that's a successful day for Utah. Anytime you're intercepting a quarterback, you've done a good job, and Utah's done a great job over the course of the year in picking off a lot of passes. So if they pick off Mangum once and even twice, maybe Gianni Paul gets one as well, I think that's a good day. And if you force two interceptions out of BYU and then you don't turn it over yourself or only turn over once, then Utah's they should be able to run away with it. Might not run away with this, but they should easily be able to win this game if they win the turnover battle.
Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons you're saying they won't run away with it is probably a lack of offensive firepower. Coming into this game, a lot of injuries on the offensive side. Who do you expect to play this Saturday on the offensive side of those playmakers that are injured?
Oh, geez. I mean, I expect Britton Covey and Kenneth Scott to both be out there. This is the final game for Covey before he leaves for his mission. This is the final game for Kenneth Scott, probably the last time he ever gets to lace up in a uniform in his career. I mean, with the injuries he suffered over the course of his career and how much his body's been beaten up, he's probably not going to get much of an NFL look, if any. He may probably won't even end up in the camp. So this is probably the last time either of those guys get to lace up and for Covey for 2 years. So I think they're both going to give it their all and go out there and do everything they have to get out on the field. So that helps with Utah from a playmaker perspective. But if neither of those guys can go, you just look at the wide receiving core and you say, who's Wilson going to throw it to? I mean, he's got nobody to throw it to. Harrison Hanley becomes probably his top receiving option. Tyrone Smith out there as well. Maybe Raylon Singleton. But we're talking about guys that didn't have much production this year and guys that aren't, your shifty guys that work for Utah. When were they really successful? On the jump ball down the field to Kenneth Scott that drew pass interference calls, or the quick passes to Britton Covey where it made 30 guys miss. And if those guys can't play, then Utah becomes very, very much one-dimensional, and they're going to have to run the ball a lot. But I think Utah can have a lot of success running the ball. And I don't necessarily mean Joe Williams. I think Travis Wilson can be a guy that can really pick up a ton of yards. I think Wilson, this is the kind of game and the way BYU plays their defense where Wilson can run for close to, if not more than 100 yards on Saturday. And that can absolutely move the chains and crush a defense, just crush their soul. When you see quarterbacks picking up yardage like that, it absolutely drains you mentally. And it's really, really, really hard to keep going and getting up for the next play when you know a 6'7", 245 pound quarterback is going to pick up 5-6 yards each time. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think is going to have more rushing yards then, Joe Williams or Travis Wilson?
I'll actually go with Travis Wilson on Saturday. I think Williams has a good game. I think he does enough. I think if he can break one, that would be the difference. I don't think Travis is going to break off a 70-yard or anything like that. If Williams can get through, and BYU is probably one of the slower defenses he's seen all season, maybe the slowest defense. I mean, obviously UCLA's defense was faster. Colorado's defense is probably pretty comparable in speed to BYU. But if he can get through that line of scrimmage and stop trying to stretch everything to the outside, because that's where he's really struggled. He's great between the tackles for a guy his size, which is really surprising. But he got killed every time he tried to stretch everything wide against UCLA. It was an absolute disaster. So, but he has the ability to break one. I think he'd be the one more likely to break one. So if he breaks one, Williams will have more yardage. But otherwise, I would lean towards Travis Wilson and picking up a ton of yardage on the ground on Saturday.
All right. I mean, we've kind of gone over the defenses and offenses. So how about a prediction and any ultimate thoughts about the game?
Well, I think it should be fun. It's bowl games are hard to predict. I mean, you never really know. But this one we have a better gauge on because of the familiarity of these teams, what we've seen. And it's a rivalry game in a bowl game. I don't expect it to be a blowout either way. I mean, there's little to no chance Utah gets blown out. I mean, I could see them really putting their foot on BYU if they can force some turnovers. But I think these two teams, because of the injuries, it's kind of brought Utah down to a level that's a little bit closer to what BYU is. I think it's a close one, comes down in the fourth quarter, and I don't think it's that high scoring. I think both teams kind of go back and forth. But at the end of the day, I think Travis Wilson on the ground is the biggest difference in this game. I think Utah wins this 24-20.
Okay, well, Brian, with your work at Youth Sports Report, I would regret not asking you about some recruiting. And there's actually been some pretty decent recruiting news as of late with Huntley, Simpkins, Peck, and Grant all signing early. And then I believe it was Troy Williams' letter of intent came in today. What can you say about this recruiting class that is coming in this next season?
Well, you know, some people have been a little hesitant, saying, why aren't we getting better guys? Why aren't we getting better guys? Utah's getting plenty of good guys. They're getting the guy in Troy Williams that's going to step in and I think will be your starting quarterback pretty much from day one. He'll battle it out with Brandon Cox. But I think he's the future for Utah for the next couple of years. He throws a beautiful ball and he throws guys open, which is something Travis Wilson has never done. And that's such a huge aspect to why Utah's wide receivers have struggled the last couple of years, is because they didn't have a quarterback that had the ability or didn't choose to throw guys open. Williams is able and willing to make that throw to, all right, I'm going to throw it to this spot. You just run your route, and I'll throw it to where it needs to be, and I'll throw it to where the corner can't get it. So that's definitely a plus for Utah with Williams. With Huntley, he's a project guy. He's going to take a little while to get going, but he's real thin. He needs to add some weight before he's ready to take that Pac-12 beating. But he's a very, very good thrower. He doesn't run it as well as I think a lot of people would anticipate for a guy his size. Don't get me wrong. He's a very good athlete, better than I am, but that's not saying much. But he throws a beautiful ball, and he's a guy that two or three years down the line could be ready to take over for Troy Williams or Brandon Cox once they move on and graduate. Damari Simpkins is a guy that's real shifty, real tough to bring down. And I haven't seen a ton of film on Simpkins, but the feedback from Corey Bender with Scout, who's our Florida recruiting analyst, is he loves Simpkins. He loves his game. He's been surprised that more schools haven't come in and tried to steal him away from Utah. And then Scott Peck is a guy that when I found out that Utah was going to get Peck a couple days before that he actually made his commitment, I went and watched some film and was like, oh, geez, this is a player. This is a guy that is a Utah type of offensive lineman. And they're absolutely going to love what they're going to get. And this class is going to close out strong. And I know they haven't had a ton of commitments recently, and with handsome Tanielu, him and Utah parting ways despite his four-star status. He just wasn't a good fit for Utah, but they're going to focus on high school defensive tackles for the rest of the class. And then Wayne Kirby, a kid out of Idaho, is a guy they're going to go hard after and throw a lot of things at. And I really like the way this class is going to close. I think Melky Stovall, who commits on Monday, it's Utah and Cal, and I'm still leading Utah direction. I really like what Utah's what the package they presented for him and told him, hey, look, you're going to be Britton Covey, but even better when you come in next year. You're going to start right away in that slot position, and he really would. He would be like Covey. He's almost the exact same type of player if he watches film. So I mean, we've seen what Utah's done over time, and they never get the top rated guys, but they're getting guys that are even higher rated than they were before. And I was talking to a Utah coach about this the other day, and there was an article that ESPN put out, and a coach actually said it to me, and he said, if we're rated so lowly or so low in terms of ability to recruit guys, why is our record consistently good? And I said, well, you know exactly why. It's because you guys develop players at a better rate than pretty much anybody. He said exactly. So I wouldn't worry if Utah lands at 35 or 40 in the scout recruiting rankings. It's going to be they're going to continue to develop players at a high rate. They do it better than anybody else. And every other school in the Pac-12 sits around. Every time they see a Utah offer a player or get a commit from a player, they go watch that kid's film. Utah's kind of the standard bearer in terms of developing and finding talent, and everybody else just waits and tries to pick off the players that Utah's found because they do a better job than anybody else. So I like the way this class is shaping up. They've got some great players. I don't know. They don't have a ton of instant impact guys that are coming from the high school level mostly. Those will be JC guys. But they've got some good guys that should be able to put themselves in a position to get back to a bowl game again next year.
All right. Sounds good, Brian. I appreciate you taking some time out of what is a busy time for you with the Vegas Bowl. And I'm really looking forward to seeing some of your reports afterwards, especially, you know, the sideline tension and stuff you referenced earlier. But it was good talking to you.
All right. Thanks so much for the time.
Yep. Have a good one.
Thanks. You too.
This has been a Torn Light Sports production.